As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Arlington Chamber of Commerce. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, John Yetman, Association for Enterprise Growth, Mike Rosnow, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Tim Young, Young Marketing Consulting, Matthew Lesko, Lesko and Walderman, Ray Vasquez, Vertex 11, and Les Mullen, Vistage. Les, can you give us a rundown on who we have on the air today?
Sure. We have Logan Soya, founder and CEO, AquaCorp. We have Robert Sanchez, founder and CEO, SHR Consulting Group. Tim Evans, co-founder and chief of strategy at Lumen, and Joe Applebaum, CEO of Potomac Companies.
Let's get to our first guest, Logan Soya, founder and CEO of AquaCorp. Logan, what is AquaCorp? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're a technology and software company that focuses on offering sensors that you can install in large commercial buildings, measuring things like electricity, water, and gas, and then using that data to help run those large skyscrapers and commercial office buildings more efficiently.
How large or how small is this business?
It's about 40 employees now, founded in late 2012,
so
early
2013. So you started the business?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And where are you from originally?
From Melbourne, Florida, about an hour
and
south of
Cape Canaveral. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
One younger sister.
All right, so you're the oldest of the two. Les?
Yeah. How young were you, Logan, when you started making money?
Yeah, I think my first job was a dish boy job that was on the bike path to school. I found out through a friend that they were looking for some under-the-counter work and, you know, walked in and asked if they were interested.
And you were how young?
I think 11, 12, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And did you do anything unique, or what was so special about what you did that stood out from every other kid?
I couldn't say that as a dish boy I necessarily did anything special, but you know, tried to make things interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I remember I used to try to count the number of times I would wash the same fork.
Yeah. So, what'd you learn from all that that you use today?
Gosh, I think that, you know, for me, you know, I've always had a feeling of persistence, right? And I think for me, you know, coming in, going to work, doing the deed here, getting it over with, mm-hmm. You know, I think that has resonated with me,
Tim?
Ever since.
Yeah, so counting the same fork and counting the number of kilowatts a building uses kind of seem similar to me. So where do you think that, you know, instinct to track things comes from?
Yeah, look, I think I would say that I've always had a desire to create value. And how can you demonstrate value unless you're measuring it and you're presenting real tangible evidence? So mm-hmm. maybe that's the connection.
Yeah, Matt?
You know, that sort of approach to creating something interesting out of the mundane, you seem to be utilizing that in your current business with the sensors. You know, utilities are simple, but can you tell a little bit more about how that impacts it?
Yeah. Actually, did you have a question regarding the environmental? What was that question about earlier?
Yeah, green. You know, there's a green initiative when it comes to your business. How does that play into your early life?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I think, you know, growing up in Florida, it was not a big city. You know, I can still remember riding my bike to school, listening to the ocean waves crashing on the way there. And so I would say that I definitely have a affinity for wanting to do good for the planet. And so AquaCorp probably plays into that in some way. Mm-hmm. The company's mission statement is to be able to create global impact by helping our clients connect to and understand their physical world.
Wow.
So there's an important point there.
Ray?
So at 12 years old, you're getting on a bike, and going to wash dishes. What was the drive behind that in terms of what's this ambition for money at that point in time? What was that? What was driving that?
I don't think it was money. I think it was an ambition to, to just get to know the world. I mean, I think I was a very curious kid from the ground up. You know, my friend told me that he was a couple years older than me, said that there was something available, and I just wanted to jump on it.
So you went to work not necessarily for the money?
Yeah, I don't remember the money being a material thing. I remember just wanting to get out there, wanting to hang out with my friends, wanting to just learn new things.
How about this business, which is known as AquaCore? Is that primarily driven by the need for money?
You know, look, I think any business any business that's going to do good has to be profitable and sustainable in order to continue doing good. Mm-hmm. But you know, the global impact, whether that's for people, our employees, or the world, is what drives me personally.
Mm-hmm. Michael?
So where'd you end up getting this sense of initiative and drive from?
Growing up as a kid, my father's from Germany, my mother's from Israel. I think the sense of persistence and initiative, probably came from my mother, really, on her side of the family. She grew up as the last child of 11 in Israel. Huge sense of just persistence, just get it done. She was the kind of, she has the stories of not making the bus because she couldn't afford the 25-cent toll, and still figuring out how to go clean a house, right? And so that kind of affected me, I think.
Uh-huh. How come you know so much about this? Have you talked to your mom about this? Did you purposely draw it out of her? Did she tell you these stories? Have you been back to Israel? What's that all about?
Oh, yeah. Well, just as a fun fact, I recently finished the Tel Aviv Marathon a few weeks ago in Israel, which was tremendous. So, we've gone back. I mentioned my father's from Germany, my mother's from Israel. So as a kid, my family would try to kind of pick one destination or the other growing up. So it was a great experience to go abroad, and you learn these things over time.
What was the experience? So you went abroad. What'd you bring back from the abroad that has any effect on the business nowadays?
Oh, man. I love the dichotomy between going to sort of a pristine, clean place like Germany or Austria or Switzerland, and then comparing that in the same trip to something like Israel. Israel is just a world of entrepreneurialism, get it done, doesn't matter the cost, boilerplate. And then, you contrast that with, sort of this German mentality of, rigor and professionalism and cleanliness. As a kid growing up, just appreciating both sides of that coin, I think is really valuable.
Mm-hmm. John?
So your parents are international. You grew up in Florida.
Correct.
But you ended up in D.C. How did that happen and why?
Yeah. I think Florida is an amazing place growing up. I loved it every minute of it. I think for me personally, I was drawn to wanting to make impact, wanting to create value. And it just struck me that being able to move up to a larger city affords more opportunities. And so I ended up getting my MBA at Georgetown, which is what moved me up here.
Les, do you have a question there?
Go ahead.
This interest in so you did a marathon, you mentioned, and you have a smile on your face. How come?
I've always, this was later in my childhood, but I ended up picking up a lot of athletics. I was a collegiate rower. I eventually became a triathlete and a marathon runner. I actually did not do any marathons or any, serious athletics as I was starting AquaCore. So this was my first foray back into that. And so it's just really nice to get that back under my belt.
What's that personality trait, and how does that apply to business?
I mean, I'll reference the persistence prevails, theme here. I think that, in business, you're going to have lots of ups and downs. You're going to have challenging situations where you're going to be pushed and prodded, and you're going to have to figure out a way to prevail. And mm-hmm. and it's you as an independent thinker and an independent individual, mm-hmm. just like triathlons, just like running, that is going to help you to overcome that.
Does your running help your business?
I think so. Yeah, I think. I mean, if you ask anybody, I think that is works out in the morning. You know, it just is a mental clears your mind, allows you to think a little bit more openly about what you want to accomplish for the day.
Mm-hmm. Lester,
yeah, come back to your dad. You described his German upbringing and the travels there, using terms like rigor and cleanliness. What's that got to do with you and running a business today?
Well, first of all, he was the technologist of the family. So he's, you know, he introduced me to computers and technology, got me into the that side of life. I think as it relates to his rigor, you know, I can still remember him very, you know, emphatically communicating exactly where the fork should be and where the knife should be and how we should eat proper. And, you know, and I don't say that negatively. Yeah. I think
what did it do to you?
Those are important lessons to create a business that is sustainable. I mean, like, you can build a business, right? But if you want to build a business that's going to last a long time, you have to have the rigor to put in the right processes.
Ray, what's your question? What are you thinking?
So I'm wondering, if we were talking to your sister, what kind of big brother would she say she had, and how does that translate to running a company?
Yeah. I hope she would say that, you know, I was very inclusive in wanting her to come spend time with my friends and you know, wanting her to come along and be part of the things that I enjoyed. You know, I think we have a very, I would say like probably 8 or 9, probably.
Why is that so important to you? Because that's the truth. I get the sense that's the truth. Why is that so important to you? Why would you bother including your sister?
I it's funny. I have a team. I would say that I have an individual drive for persistence, but I am motivated by those around me to feel success, right?
So what's the website address of this organization, AquaCore?
AquaCore.com.
How do you spell that?
AquiCore.com.
We've been speaking with Logan Soya, founder and CEO of AquaCore, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Back in a moment, right after this break.
Whoa.
Want help building your business with help from the show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves, because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Robert Sanchez, founder and CEO of SHR Consulting Group. Robert, what is SHR Consulting Group? What are you guys doing?
We're an information technology, engineering, and software development company.
How large or how small are you?
We're about 50 employees.
And where are you from originally?
Woodbridge, Virginia.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I'm the youngest of three.
Uh-huh. What happened to you when you were about 5 or 6 years old?
My parents got divorced, and my oldest brother actually went with my father. Myself and my older sister went with my mother.
Uh-huh. How'd that make you feel?
Pretty sad.
Why?
It was just sad to think about the fact that, you know, I didn't have my dad around, and I didn't have my brother. And, you know, I think it just created a lot of what I'll call personal turmoil inside of my family, as well as just inside of me as an individual.
Mm-hmm. Lester?
Take us back and tell us, how young were you when you started making money?
So I got my first computer when I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
Got really interested in with, you know, software development and messing around with HTML and DOS programming. I also watched Cars when I was younger, around the same age. That's actually how I earned enough money to buy the computer, because I came from a family.
Oh, so nobody just handed it to you?
No. I came from a family of very little means. You know, my mother couldn't afford a computer. She knew I was interested in it. So, you know, I earned the cash to go buy it.
And what did you learn about yourself from all that that you use today?
I guess computers
and the washing of the cars, all those things you did.
Hard work is really important, and when you want to get something, it's going to require you to dedicate your time and focus on it, and, you know, get the things that you want.
Tim?
So, Robert, you know, it sounds like you had two different paths you could have walked down. You could have been, you know, angry and lashing out, or but you chose the productive path. Why did you do that?
You know, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that the sadness, I guess, kind of forced me to, you know, walk away and escape all the personal turmoil that was going on in my life, and allowed me to, you know, get my hands dirty, stay focused on, you know, spending time on things that I wanted to do, and, you know, computers happened to be the thing I attached my time to.
Ray?
And escaped from my...
Mm-hmm. Ray, swing over to that mic.
Robert, how long have you known your wife, and where did you meet her?
My wife and I actually met in high school. We were both 16. It was in Woodbridge, Virginia, Woodbridge High School. And, you know, we've been together ever since.
Since you were 16.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She's the only, you know, girl I've ever kissed, right?
Mm-hmm. Matt?
So I was interested in, you know, what you enjoyed about programming as a child and how that relates to your business today.
So I was always really interested in automating things and scripting them. So at a really young age, I used to write, you know, little snippets of code that basically would, you know, dial up our modem connection and launch whatever video game I was going to play that day.
You were doing that how young?
11, 12.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's see. Michael.
So what effect did yesterday have on how you run your business today?
You know, I think the personal life and what I went through in my childhood, all the sadness really gives me a lot of empathy towards others. It's translated into making sure the employees of the company have really good benefits and everyone's above standard taken care of as far as, like, you know, 401k matches and health care. Also, the business, on a per year basis, we actually dedicate a percentage of our profits to doing things like donating to charitable organizations, as well as donating locally to the school system and churches around where we live.
And why do you do that?
I think because of what I experienced, it just makes you want to help others, because, you know, going through what I was going through at the time, I always kind of felt helpless. And I always promised myself that if I ever had the opportunity to help anybody else in my life, no matter what that means, I would always do as much as I possibly could to lift up others around me.
Have you been able to do that?
I like to think that I've had a little bit of success thus far.
How have you been able to help people?
So, as far as, you know, like mentoring others, trying to get them down whatever career path that they're interested in, whether they're inside the company or just, you know, people I've worked with in the past, right? So I've helped people from that perspective. I've also, like I said, doing the community work and the charitable work obviously helps, you know, the local community around myself and,
well, wait a
and
minute.
My family.
I thought you're supposed to be building a business. You're supposed to be focused on building the business. Why are you doing it? Why are you taking the time to do all this other stuff?
You know, from my perspective, all of it adds value to you as a person, right? The more value that you're putting out, it doesn't matter whether it's a business or you helping, you know, the community around you. It all translates into, you know, success, in my opinion. The more value you put out, the more value you get back from the world. I'm a big believer in that. So, you know, whether it's winning a new contract, growing business in different market segments.
I don't hear that. I mean, I read the newspapers. I've never heard a CEO say that before. John?
Congratulations on your success. It's hard to succeed when you don't have a father in the home. So who did you look to? Who influenced you as a child?
So at a young age, starting in middle school, actually a person that works in the company today, he is, you know, one of my mentors. Also, my wife's father was a big guiding compass for me as well when I was young. And obviously, I met him when I was 16.
How was he a guiding compass for you? What's also interesting to me is you reached out. You were listening. You were looking for these mentors as opposed to thinking you knew it all. How'd your wife's dad help you out?
Yeah, you know, I definitely think missing out on having a strong, positive male role model in my life sort of allowed me to reach out to others for advice, especially at a young age. You know, advice about, you know, what I should go, where I should go to school, if I was on the right track, if I was doing the right thing. And they're still both very heavily involved in my life today.
Robert, so you talk about short term versus long term. Seems like you look at things from one of those two vantage points.
Yeah. You know, your perspective is, you know, you're a long term relationship kind of guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I would definitely say so.
Uh-huh. So when you meet somebody, how do you know it's somebody you want to continue a relationship with?
I think that takes a lot of trust building. My wife and I, we were dating since we were 16, but we dated for about 10 years before we got married, right? Uh-huh. So I think, you know, I don't naturally latch on to people and immediately put them in my trust circle after 5 minutes of knowing them. You know, I think her, along with her family and my mentor, have, you know, it's a bit of a two-way street. They've done a lot to be in my trust circle, and I always do whatever I possibly can to make sure they stay there, right?
Les, what do you got there?
Yeah, I want to come back to Mom, because earlier you had kind of told us, you know, she played an important role in raising two kids and putting money on the table. What did you learn from her that you use today?
Yeah, so she worked multiple jobs. You know, it's being a single mother and raising two kids is difficult and complex enough. You know, all the jobs that she had, she was never really excited to go to. It wasn't really fun for her. Mm-hmm. I noticed a lot of that when I was growing up, and I think it's really translated into me making sure that I don't just have a job. I have something that I love to do, and it's not just about making money for me. Because my mother, under the circumstances, you know, she had to make money so that she was feeding two kids.
She's surprised by your success today?
I think so.
Hmm. What advice would you give as in your place of your dad, if you were giving yourself advice as yourself at 8 years old or 10 years old, what would that be?
I would probably tell myself to just, you know, stick to the things that you want to spend your time on. Don't let the distractions and negativity inform what you're going to do with your time and what you're going to become.
Hmm. Interesting.
You still talk to your dad?
I do not. I've never met him. I've also never met my brother.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address for this organization?
SHR-CG.com.
Let me have that one more time.
SHR-CG.com.
We've been speaking with Robert Sanchez, who is founder and CEO of SHR Consulting Group here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Biz Talk Radio is now available on Amazon Echo. Just add the Biz Talk Radio skills, then ask Alexa for the latest business news. You'll instantly get live, relevant information from the best business source, Biz Talk Radio. Alexa, open Biz Talk Market Tips.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit. Again, call 800-557-6095.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Attention! Are you moving soon and don't know who to turn to? If you are moving or planning to move long distance or across the country, Moving APT is offering up to a 20% discount for radio callers this month. Let us handle and remove all the pain and stress in a long-distance move. Let Moving APT help you with your all-inclusive move, including packaging services, help with washers and dryers, mounted TVs, bed frames, and more. We can include packing and unpacking services, or ask for boxes, tape, bubble wrap, or labels. We also disassemble and reassemble appliances and TVs at your new home. Moving is difficult and stressful, so call Moving APT today to find the most professional movers to support you. If you are looking for a low-cost quote to move long distance or across the country, call us now. Call 800-716-0362. 800-716-0362. Get a guaranteed quote with up to 20% off. 800-716-0362.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Tim Evans, co-founder and chief of strategy for Adlumin. Tim, what is Adlumin?
Adlumin is a cybersecurity company that uses machine learning to find anomalous activity on a network so we can determine when an intruder has stolen credentials on that network.
And how large or how small is this company?
We have about 12 employees currently, and we're in the process of hiring some more.
So. All right. And you co-founded the business.
That's correct.
Where are you from originally?
Omaha. Nebraska.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother and a younger brother and a younger sister who live both in Lincoln and Omaha,
Nebraska.
So
you're in the second of the four. What was the effect of you growing up the second of four?
Well, my older brother was always really smart, really good at sports, played basketball, played baseball. I never did any of those things.
Lester?
Yeah, so if you didn't do any of those things, what kind of sports did you play and what was the role that you had on those teams?
So I ended up doing both running and swimming, kind of individualized sports. So I'd be up early in the morning, late in the afternoon doing workouts.
Mm-hmm. So individual sports, what did it do for you as a kid?
I think it always helped me to think. When I got out and ran for a long distance, it always made me think about things that I hadn't thought about and kind of cleared my mind.
Got anything to do with what you're doing now?
So I think in ways I've definitely had some of the best ideas about cybersecurity policy on a long run for sure, and maybe solve some problems too. So
right.
I think it does.
Mm-hmm.
I understand
right.
that you might have been picked on or bullied when you were a lot younger. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I was. I can recall very clearly in my mind being chased after sixth grade. Almost every day I would get chased all the way home, which was about six or eight blocks. And that's kind of when I started to run.
And do you think that had any influence in terms of becoming an attorney?
So maybe in part, but it definitely has other influences for sure.
Well, what about being bullied in general? It typically has a major impact in your entire life. You talk about being in the Marines. How does that play into all the choices that you made?
So I think I did see the value in learning to be a Marine so that I could defend myself and defend others. I mean, frankly, that was kind of a small thought, but I think it really made an impact on me.
And isn't that what cybersecurity is?
It is.
Mm-hmm. So you were doing these independent sports, but then you decided to go into the military. Is that right?
That's correct.
How did those two worlds mix?
Well, definitely Marines required that you be able to run. So it actually it worked really well. That was one of the three things you had to do. The others were pull-ups and sit-ups.
Mm-hmm. Michael?
So then how did being bullied and becoming a Marine, you mentioned this sense of independence, how did that help you when you co-founded the business?
So, I mean, with all that we see going on currently across the United States and across the globe, in fact, for me as a business owner, it's my job to make sure that I protect my employees and make sure that there is nothing nefarious going on at any time. And that kind of gives me building an organization and helping people in that organization to do what they want to do is really my goal.
John?
Outside of your parents, who are the most positive influencers in your life?
So Mr. Reynolds, I recall his name clearly at Morton Elementary School, ended up junior high, ended up talking to us as students a lot of times after class. He had been in Vietnam War. He had a steel plate in his head. And he really tried to, you know, he was a very serious guy, but he tried to ensure that we thought about things in life before we did them. We just didn't go out and do them.
How young were you when you were hanging out with him?
Seventh grade, so that would put me about 14.
And why were you hanging out with him? Why weren't you out, like, you know, doing other stuff?
So he taught math, and I liked his class. I liked math class.
What'd you like about him?
He just seemed to care about the students. He's just a nice guy, just a very nice individual.
Did he play a role in your decision to go to the Marines?
You know, I never thought about it, but maybe. I mean, he's the only person I knew that was a role model that was in the military. Nobody in my family was in the military.
Did you follow up with him after you decided to join?
I didn't, but I've thought about him many times.
Mm-hmm. Ray, what else are you thinking?
So you still have family in Omaha, and you're far away from Omaha. Can you tell me a little bit about how you decided to be so far away?
Sure. So, you know, for me, I think Omaha is very small. It's a small town. I mean, and if you've driven through Nebraska, it's a long way to drive through Nebraska. There's nothing there. It's flat. So I really wanted to get out and see the world. My first duty station, I chose Japan, lived there for a couple years, Orange County, California for 10 years. You know, I go back home and visit, but I probably won't go back and live.
How have you changed? How have you shifted?
How so? Specifically?
Well, you know, from the time you left to the time you just recently went back.
So I definitely see things differently from a world perspective when I go back to Omaha, and I can tell the folks, my friends, maybe they think maybe a little bit smaller view of what the world is.
Mm-hmm. Because you got out and you did the traveling that you did. Tim, what are you thinking?
I'm just curious. You know, you kind of shifted. You've been serving your whole career, you know, starting in the Marines and through various, you know, elements of the service. Where did that service ethic come from?
So, I mean, I guess I really learned about service maybe starting in junior high. I went to, you know, Creighton Prep. It was a Catholic school. We went to Appalachia. We did a mission to Appalachia, and I learned that there were people that didn't have the same things that I had. And from Omaha, it's very different. I mean, you think this is what everybody has. It's not. Mm-hmm. So we went to Appalachia, and we saw people living out of the back of trucks, turned upside down. It was crazy. So it really opened my eyes, and maybe that was the first time I decided I need to get away from Omaha eventually.
Because you wanted to help people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next question. Who's got it?
Go on, Mom. So, go ahead.
Tim, you talk about running a lot. So how does it feel when you're on like mile 23 compared to work? It goes through your head.
So the cool thing about doing marathons, I've done 10 of them, is it makes you really focus on just finishing. Work doesn't matter at that point. It's all about accomplishing what you're doing that moment, and nothing else matters. And that's really a clearing thought.
But certainly there's some demons that probably get into your head at that point in time. You can't finish this. You can't do it. Why are you here? Like,
it's the same demons that we have in business, you know, as a startup. I mean, I've been up many, many nights not knowing how we were going to get over this hump, but you keep doing it. It's the persistence that all of us have talked about today.
Tell us about Mom and Dad. What do you get from Mom that you use today? What do you get from Dad that you apply?
So my dad worked for the Internal Revenue Service for 30 years, auditing corporations. My dad, I remember when he was like 35, he was studying for his CPA, and I remember being so impressed watching him study at night. Maybe that's why I went to law school. I don't know. I like school, but you know, I think from my dad I learned kind of that persistence.
Matt, do you have another question there?
Is your father still around?
He's not. He passed in 2010.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. I'm sure you would appreciate seeing you start your own business. And
mm-hmm. John?
So Mr. Reynolds influenced you greatly. What would you say to your seventh grade self? What advice? How would you influence yourself?
I think he kind of impressed upon us that, you know, life is serious. It's not a joke. And you can help people or you can just help yourself. And I think he always kind of indicated that we ought to help other people.
Mm-hmm. Tim, what else were you thinking there?
What made you decide, you know, you were coming from a structured world in the military. What made you decide to start your own firm?
So, you know, you would think that Marines all must be like little clones and move, you know, because we do when we do marching. But in reality, Marines are the most independent people that I have ever met. And they will figure 50 different ways to take that same hill, but they'll all move together. So I think I learned the independence really in the Marine Corps, which is kind of ironic, right?
Matthew?
It's not what you would think.
Matt, what do you think?
And it sounds like you're bringing independent pieces together in a uniformed approach. How does that play into the business?
Definitely. So I've been doing the marketing side and the sales side, and so I never did that in my career. Very different than what I'd been doing. But I like people, and I think I like to deal with people. So that's the part, whether it's an employee or a business potential consumer.
Wait a second, we're missing something here, because marketing and business development, that's a creative piece to it. And I look at Marines and marching and lawyer and being to the book. Where does that come from?
So when the Marine Corps sent me to get my Master's of Law at the University of Washington Law School, I tried to get into this trade class, because it was international business class. Tried to get in there, couldn't get in. I started a business. I had been in Japan. I started selling detergent, my own detergent, to Japan. I had it made in Salt Lake, shipped to the coast, shipped through China and into Okinawa, Japan. I was in the largest grocery stores over there for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address of this organization known as Ad Lumen?
It's adlumen.com, A-D-L-U-M-I-N.
We've been speaking with Tim Evans, co-founder and chief of strategy at Lumen, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. Back in a moment, right after this break. Want help building your business with help from the show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves, because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services or by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 19, Oregon DM 80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC32.
Reason number 12 why you should own a ThermoSpa's hot tub? They require no attachment to your home's plumbing. Thanks to the ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermofiltration system that filters the water an incredible 144 times a day, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance. Call to receive a free DVD and brochure and find out how you can own a ThermoSpa's hot tub for only a few dollars a day. Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,000 savings coupon, including free delivery, free chemicals, and a cash discount. And with models starting at $4,995, there will never be a better time to own a ThermoSpa's hot tub. So call now and ask about this limited-time offer. Call ThermoSpa's today at 800-956-7183 for your free DVD and brochure. That's 800-956-7183. ThermoSpa's, hot tubs designed to improve your life. Call 800-956-7183 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce Anirudh Kulkarni, founder and CEO of CVP Customer Value Partners. Anirudh, what is CVP Customer Value Partners?
We're a strategic business and technology services firm focused on healthcare and national security.
Mm-hmm. And how large or how small is this business?
We're approaching about 320 consultants.
And how old is this business?
We're heading into our 15th year now.
And where are you from originally?
Born in Chicago, Illinois, but lived in eight places before the age of 10, so hard to pick a hometown.
Wait. You lived in eight places by the age of 10. What did that do to you?
Well, it certainly made you figure out ways to be popular around the cafeteria because you had to make friends quickly.
How'd you go about doing that?
You know, I've been thinking about that. I think really doing things for others first got people wanting to be my friend.
Like, give me an example. What do you mean?
Helping kids with homework. I was pretty good at schoolwork, and math came very naturally to me.
Mm-hmm.
So helping kids with homework seemed to be a logical thing.
So you figured out how to sell people on yourself because you wanted to have friends, and if it was helping with their math, you gave them a hand with their math.
Something like that.
And let's go back to school. So you mentioned you're a minority at these small schools. You're the new kid. And what you mentioned is also that you'd make friends by listening. So does that make you a good listener today?
You know, I think so. It sort of gets into the routine. Being a minority, you know, not that it ever was something that I thought about, but you were always the different kid, plus you were the new kid. So listening, building relationships were critical.
So related to that, Dad was super successful and opportunistic. There's no way an opportunist could be a good listener, right?
Yeah, Dad was very focused on improving his and the family's place in society. So, yes, he did take chances and was opportunistic.
So with the listening skills, how much of your job today as CEO is being mentor, quasi-therapist, listener versus being a consultant, if you will?
It's just about all of it. I think especially as we've now hit about 300 folks, More and more my job is less client work, and it's more catering to our team, our leadership, helping them be successful. And that, as you all know, requires a great deal of empathy, a great deal of listening.
You had mentioned that your mom always used to tell you something growing up. What was that?
Yeah, mom was a social worker and very conservative, but the one thing she drilled into both boys was aim high. And her rationale was, if you aim high, even if you don't hit your destination, at least you get as far as you can linearly. So.
How do you use that today?
Oh, we always view ourselves at CVP as a giant killer. We love going after the big consulting firms. Whether we think we have a shot at it or not, we've inspired our culture so that we love going after the big accounting and consulting firms.
Chris?
So, very interesting family dynamics. Tell me about what individual trait do you have that emulated success for you? So, what drove you as a child to then become an entrepreneur?
You know, there's probably something in the genes. My father's side of the family, I affectionately call them a bunch of crackpots because everybody had some tin pot idea at how to make money besides working at their day job, and not all were very successful. So there's a little bit of the whimsical, I suppose, in terms of trying out new things and trying out different ideas, which is certainly in my nature.
How do you define success today?
Well, I think the second half of the gene comes from my mom and certainly from my dad, from his learning. So you can have a whole bunch of ideas and vision, but I think persistence and execution sort of rules the day, which is something I learned from both parents.
John? Yeah, tell us about your first efforts as a kid in organized community service.
Yeah, so community service was very important to us. There's a big tradition of community service and public service in our family. While in school, I ran the local chapter of the Junior Red Cross in high school, where we'd put on camps for the underprivileged. We'd do blood drives. We'd arrange for free medical diagnostics and care.
What was your role in those in that stuff?
I was actually. It started off as being a true a volunteer, but I eventually became the president of the chapter and actually had to put on the camps and the and had to organize it.
So what's the parallel between that and building this business?
I think there's a lot. I think when you think about going from ideas on whiteboard to actually pulling together people, customers, stakeholders, and getting them all to work in one way to achieve a mission objective, I think that's the common learning there.
Mm-hmm. You know, so what do your community service time and energy look like today?
That's a great question. I think that's been at the core at CVP for many, many years. We have a couple of foundations that we use to nurture local nonprofits in the Northern Virginia and Maryland communities. We also have Day of Service, where every project team has an opportunity to go out in the community and do something that's valuable.
Jen?
You'd mentioned starting your first business at 25, which is still very young. What did you learn the most about doing that?
I learned a lot about having to talk to large enterprises. Our business was really focused on providing analytical solutions to large consumer product companies. And as a 25-year-old, I didn't necessarily have the seasoning and the maturity to talk to a brand manager or a VP of marketing. So learning how to come across as a seasoned, mature professional.
Chris,
was a big
Mike,
thing.
Who's got the question?
What are you really passionate about today?
I am really excited when I see younger people grow in their careers. I think we all get to a point where we want to see the next generation grow and succeed, and we do a lot of active mentoring in the community as well.
A lot of active mentoring in the community as well. Uh-huh. Why do you do that? Why?
Well, we work with a couple of different community service organizations, readers.
Why?
I think it gets back to this idea that we are more than just ourselves in this world that we live in, that we have both an obligation and a privilege.
What's the website address of this organization known as CVP Customer Value Partners?
We're cvpcorp.com.
We've been speaking with Anirudh Kulkarni, founder and CEO of CVP Customer Value Partners here on Executive Leaders Radio. John, can you give us a rundown on who else we've had the opportunity of speaking with today?
Our first guest was Heidi Parson, founder and CEO of Torchlight Hire. Then we talked to Kai Anderson, CEO of Cassidy & Associates. Our third guest was Trevor Garner, business banking market manager for Mid-Atlantic of M&T Bank, and our last guest was Anirudh Kulkarni, founder and CEO of CVP Customer Value Partners.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-host, Mr. Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnotto Carp, Chris Turley, First Virginia Community Bank, and Mike Sweeney, Right Source Marketing, John Shuhart, Graybeard Coaching, for giving me and structuring the questions. He'll be providing a listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.